Well, thank you all for the opportunity to present. This is co-authored work with Sanjeev Das, who's also at Santa Clara University, and Bhushan Kothari, who's a former student there. Now, financials are often delayed indicators of corporate quality, and internal discussions, such as internal employee emails, may be used as an early warning system. So an automated platform that would be able to parse these emails and produce summary statistics would be highly valuable, particularly given that an automated platform would be able to analyze vast quantities of textual data that's not amenable to human processing. And also, it would bypass ethical and moral concerns that we have with respect to employee privacy, because it wouldn't require us to reveal individual email content explicitly to the monitor. So our purpose in this paper is to explore the predictive power of information that's conveyed by these employee emails. Specifically, we'll be interested in the sentiment that's conveyed by the email content itself. We'll also be interested in the information that's conveyed by structural characteristics, such as the volume of email or the average length of the emails being sent over time. And possibly more interestingly, we'll be interested in other non-verbal indicators of possible trouble. To give a quick preview of the results, we find that net sentiment conveyed by the Enron employee email content is a significant predictor of subsequent stock prices. And what's very interesting is that email length turned out to be a stronger predictor of subsequent price declines than the net sentiment of the message body itself. And we'll try to identify other potential indicators or predictors of escalating risk. But there will be a big caveat here with respect to our ability to execute some of these analyses, which I'll get to with respect to the way that the email corpus that we have right now is structured. To give an overview of the data, we have approximately 500,000 emails, and this spans the critical period in Enron's timeline from January 2000 through its collapse in December 2001. Now, this data was first made publicly available by FERC during its investigation of Enron, and it was subsequently culled and distributed by the Carnegie Mellon Kalo Project. So it's hosted on a dedicated site by the computer science department there that's freely available for anybody who wanted to look at this particular email corpus. I alluded to some caveats, and this has to do with redactions that have been applied over time, either for legal reasons or to honor requests from the affected employees. For example, one of the redactions that's very notable is user Fastow A is missing. So this was the CFO of Enron during this time period, and his profile has been entirely redacted. Now, also, the email chatter surrounding Mr. Skilling's sudden resignation has also been expunged. There are only about two or three emails during that time frame, and it has absolutely nothing to do on that day with his sudden resignation. Now, the details regarding the exclusion criteria haven't been tediously documented or even made public, and so our analyses should be viewed more as exploratory and prescriptive as opposed to a positive study as to the inner workings of Enron during this time. Now, in terms of preparing the data so we can analyze it, we first focus on sent emails rather than all emails, and this is in order to deduplicate our analysis. We want to analyze, first and foremost, content that's specifically written by Enron employees. So we want the sentiment of what an Enron employee was thinking, as opposed to the sentiment of an external person that was emailing someone within our Enron network. We also do this to avoid processing the same content more than once. So if user Lei K sends an email to Skilling J, we don't want to double count the sentiment that's conveyed in that email. Other filters that we've applied to remove possibly noisy or junk mail, we've excluded emails that are greater than 3,000 characters in length, and we've also excluded emails that are sent to more than 20 recipients. And our results, for the most part, are not sensitive to this type of exclusion or cleaning criteria. So overall, we have this Enron corpus from that Carnegie Mellon website. We obtained stock price and stock return information from CRISP. We also have news articles from Factiva PR Newswire that we compare against the emails in our sample. And we'll use context-dependent sentiment word dictionaries from a combination of Harvard Inquirer and Loughran and MacDonald sentiment word lists in order to assess the net sentiment conveyed by email body over time. Our final sample, we have over 140 distinct employees who are mostly upper management of Enron during this time frame. We have over 100,000 sent emails, and as I mentioned, we're looking at that critical two-year time frame leading up to Enron's demise. Here we have outlined our code pipeline, but in the interest of time, and I also think it would be more engaging to just jump straight into the analyses. So let me go through first our summary statistics of the sent mail. It turns out that the average email is over 350 characters in length with a median of roughly 160 characters. And on average, each email is sent to about 1.7 recipients. We notice that close to 11% of emails are simply forwarded without added text, and so we're careful not to include these emails to, again, avoid double counting sentiment or possibly counting it more than the number of times that it was actually conveyed originally. Here we've plotted the average email length over time, and that plot you're seeing in the top is for the year 2000, and we've done this on a week-by-week basis. And the plot on the bottom is for the year 2001. What we're seeing is that initially, average email length was fairly stable, and it was straddling roughly 400 characters per email. But then there's a marked decline in average email length as we approach Enron's demise. So the basic idea here is possibly that as things are going south, your emails become less and less detailed. It may be more come see me as opposed to, you know, we're doing X, Y, Z, and A, B, C. We also looked at the net sentiment and the disagreement over time, and these were created based on those context-dependent word sentiment dictionaries. And we're seeing that there's a decline in net sentiment over time, and correspondingly, there's an increase in the disagreement conveyed by these emails on a weekly basis. Now, for comparison, we've also looked at the Factiva news coverage over time, and this is just a simple plot of the number of articles published per week over this Enron timeline, and as expected, we see a spike in the number of articles as we approach Enron's demise. Now, looking at the Factiva news sentiment, which later we'll compare in a predictive sense against the email sentiment, we're seeing that the net sentiment from the body of these articles, as well as the net sentiment from the header only of these articles, is also declining as we move along this Enron timeline. Now, comparing these things against the actual stock returns, what we're seeing is in the top graph, we have the net sentiment of Enron employee emails over time on a weekly basis. And in the bottom plot, we see moving average stock returns over the same time frame. And we're seeing that there's a downward trend across both plots. We also see something similar if instead we plot this against moving average stock prices of Enron over time. Now, in a similar fashion, we're seeing a similar pattern with moving average email length, which is now the top plot. We're seeing that moving average email length across Enron employee emails over time is coming down dramatically as we see that the stock returns are coming down, and we see a similar pattern for those moving average stock prices as we saw in those prior graphs. And now, as I mentioned, the idea is that perhaps as risk or malfeasance escalates, emails become increasingly shorter as employees are less likely to include sensitive details in a message sent via the corporate server. Now, we put all of these things into a multivariate context as well to see, not just necessarily in a horse race, but to make sure that the content from the emails is leading the actual stock returns that are happening over time. So here we have a regression of stock returns of Enron against the moving average of email sentiment, email length, and total emails over the prior quarter. So we do this on a rolling basis, and so it'll be leading stock returns against a lagged average of the prior quarter, or 13 weeks worth of email sentiment. What we see is first that email sentiment, as we would expect, is substantially associated with a decline in subsequent stock returns. But what we also, what we also notice is that email sentiment is no longer a significant indicator when we control for email length. So email length itself seems to be a stronger predictor of subsequent price declines than the actual sentiment that was being conveyed by the email. We also look at this with respect to the email content versus Factiva news content. And now this is where we believe that the redactions that were applied to this email corpus may be messing up some of what we would intuitively think is true. So intuitively, we would think that email content would lead news content. Now we're seeing that email content does contain more information than the header of the news article itself. And again, we're seeing that neither is significant when accounting for the email length. But when we look at the actual body of the news article, we're seeing that the email content contains less information in a less timely manner. And this we can't be sure, whether it's due to redactions on the Enron email corpus that are reducing some of the timeliness of this information, as opposed to whether or not the news articles actually would be more timely in conveying sentiment. But again, neither the news article content or the email content are significant when we account for email length itself. Now, so far we've seen that net sentiment conveyed by employee-sent emails is a substantial predictor of stock return performance. And what was quite interesting is that perhaps structural nonverbal indicators may be a better predictor or have more information than the net sentiment conveyed by the emails. And now we're particularly interested in exploring nonverbal structural indicators of not just the emails themselves, but also the network within the employees, because these are things that would be less easy to control or to manipulate. So our thinking is not that really you should be looking at email length per se over time. It would really be looking at what is abnormal based on if you had a training period, you would ideally be doing this on a rolling basis, where you'd look perhaps over a 6-month period and see what in the next day or next week is abnormal relative to what your training period tells you is for that particular company. So a couple of potential things that are ripe for investigation that we wanted to introduce are, one is the email networks, because the network itself is far more difficult to control than the actual sentiment conveyed by the email or even the length. Because once people catch on that a very short email will trigger a red flag, then they'll start to put extra verbiage in these emails, and that'll be very easy to manipulate or control as well. But the email network, or the network of who's suddenly talking to who, and more often, that's going to be a lot more difficult to manipulate. So here we're seeing that there's definitely a shift in how this network changes over time. One problem here is that, again, the redactions that have been applied to our email corpus make it difficult for us to really understand these network changes, because as we said, a key guy, Andy Fastow, is missing from this sample, and he would be definitely someone who's shifting this network over time. But this would be something that would be ripe for future analysis. Another thing that we thought would be useful is something through a Shiny app where you could have the monitor select particular words. For example, maybe they'll select the word profit and they can have a plot show up over time to see how the trending of that word across the emails has been developing in the last 6 months or 8 months or whatever time frame you're interested in. So here was the word for profits. We see that going down, and we see that this is the word for losses and so on. Now, a final analysis that we considered is something called latent Dirichlet allocation. Now, latent Dirichlet allocation is predicated on the assumption that topics are going to be more likely to be generated by certain words that are showing up. So this right here isn't predicated on us having to use a specific context-dependent dictionary that's already in play. If there's an industry that's new, or if there's verbiage or lingo that's developing and changing over time, particularly in a new industry, then this type of analysis would allow us to better suss out what's going on without our possibly missing something important because we hadn't considered it in a pre-specified, rules-based, context-dependent dictionary. So overall, we introduced this automated platform, one thing that we have been trying to do, as I've mentioned many times with respect to the redactions in this particular email corpus, is we have wanted to run these other exploratory analyses that I've shown at the way end of this presentation against an actual email set or an email corpus that hasn't undergone these redactions. And we were almost in talks with being able to get this, but as you can imagine, some people get cold feet, even though we insist that we don't actually want to read these emails. We're just going to stick it through this black box, and we want to learn from them. So if anybody wanted to offer up any of their own employee email network data, then Professor Doss and I are sitting at that table over there. But overall, if anybody is interested in further conversation, we'll be available. And this paper, the most recent copy of the paper, along with all of the graphs and analyses, are available on our websites as well. Thank you.